Okay. Now go to Centova. I mean, go to Zara Radio.
Where's a lot? Okay.
Okay. And press go.
The intro.
No. Hit, there you go. Done.
So now it's playing the intro.
Done.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need. take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, y'all. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Zangai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement.
So you didn't find
if you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood. together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe. Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and the number one Black Talk Radio Network, Black Talk Radio Network. That's right. It's the number one radio network for podcasts. Right on. I'm your host, Brother Oshie. And, of course, today is Wednesday. I got my co-host with me. And we're going to have a great show. Hope you had a great day. Hope you get a chance today to do all things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope today the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, I know you'll do it anyway. You'll get it done because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And we appreciate you for that fact. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed, and then click on that. The programs are dated and titled. So check that out. African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Other programs on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia. And then Let's Buy Black, 365, Mondays after Acres of Diamonds from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. Wednesday, this evening, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. On Thursday, tomorrow, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. to 8. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters. That's right. That's what time that is with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's right. It ain't me. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to dial for all these programs, if you want to voice your or give a question, comment, or concern, the number is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, and there are products that we produce. It's not products that somebody else made and we sell. No, it's products that we produce. Laundry detergent, deodorant, lotions, batteries, toothbrushes, all of those things. Check it out. Go to WeBuyBlack.com. But if you are in the Atlanta area, you can go to the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall where you can pick up these products for yourself. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. I want to thank my good brother, Brother Bomani Tahimba. Brother Bomani did me some good work and, of course, gave me the information about Garvey Town, which I'm going to be checking out when I go to Ghana. So go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org.
Give Brother Bomani Tahimba a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to check out pictures from previous tours, his latest tour, and he does have a tour coming up, I'll mention that in a minute, you can go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. He has a tour coming up in May, and that's going to Ghana May 22nd to June 4th. They're only $3,700, a 14-day tour, brothers and sisters. Okay, and you will be visiting Garvey Town when you go on that tour. Also, you go to Pram Pram with the Ancestral Wall. You'll go to Kumasi. You'll go to a lot of places. It is a great tour. Okay, then, of course, November 22nd to December 2nd, he's going to South Africa, Johannesburg, and then Cape Town. And then in the latter part of December, around the so-called holiday times, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, he's going back to Ghana. So check out Brother Bomani, and you could be part of those tours. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna is, if you want to get books, you want furniture, you want clothing, you want artwork, you want whatever, you want the red, black, and green shoes, you want a Kwanzaa kit, you can get it from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Give them a call at 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676, and they also have an African Holocaust Museum. They also have a history club every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. It is a history club. Know thyself. And that's what we definitely need to do. Brother Olatunji is the instructor, does an outstanding job. But if you can't do that, but you want information, the Shrine has a multimedia library. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is, brothers and sisters, 4.5 terabytes of Africa Enlightenment. That's right, 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Other places for books is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right near the kiosk of We Buy Black. The Medu Bookstore, right there in the Shrine. And if you go there and they don't have the book that you are looking for, believe me, they'll get it for you. Another bookstore that we promote is Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Brother Kazimde Ajamu, give him a call at 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. He has books, he has the red, black, and green shoes, all kinds of other apparel. So check out Brother Kazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot. There is light in the Black Dot. ULU, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. They have their broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio, the Thursday night broadcast, and the number to call is 292-477-2789, 292-477-2789, and you could be a part of that conversation with Us Lifting Us to find out how you can become a member, how you can develop and get in your units and support what we're doing. And, of course, what we have done is we pulled our money together and recreate Cafe ULU. Had a good time there last night. Had a good jam session at Cafe ULU. The address is 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. And they're open Tuesday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. That's right. We have Cameroon Boy, which is my favorite. We have Tanzanian. Last night they had some Kenyan up there. And we have Ethiopian. We have Papua New Guinea. We have Nicaragua. Oh, we got coffee. That's right. Unlike some places that say they got coffee, they just got the regular same coffee all the time. But no, we have different coffees and we have pour over. So if there's a coffee that you would like, we can do that for you. And that is at Cafe ULU. And everything at Cafe ULU is produced by us. We even have a vitality drink, Ambrosia, Brother Novak Young, and his delicious drink of Ambrosia, which is made with alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic sugar cane, chlorophyll, hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. That's right, at Cafe ULU. Check us out. My good friend and brother Bomani Mubarudi, I will continue to support him and then continue to ask you to support him by donating to Akabin Institute. Donate to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute. If you want to do PayPal or Cash App, you can put the dollar sign and Yabaruti, his lovely wife, A-Y-A-A-M-B-A-R-U-T-I, Yabaruti, and you can donate through PayPal and Cash App. The Inyesesem of revolutionary African thought, of daily revolutionary African thought. I'll read yesterday's and today's. March 26th. People are easier to kill if they come from nowhere. John Edgar Wideman. We cannot sit idly by while someone else turns our sons into their daughters and our daughters into their sons, as if they are formless putty to be indiscriminately molded by the sexually perverted European imagination. In order to confront this devastating process, we must realize just how truly afraid a people must be who claim to be free and self-aware, while at the same time are more willing to sell out their children to the lowest bidder. Our enemies are quite aware of the fact that once you break someone, once you separate individuals from themselves, their people, their traditions, their identity as a living being with our historical origin, they are at your whim. Prostitute, abused mate, tamed animal, prisoner of war, or homosexualized, effeminized African male, or masculinized African female, it is the same process. And this process unquestionably applies to people who allow their sons to be turned into someone else's daughters and their daughters to be turned into someone else's sons. A people's spirit in their philosophy is their way. Is this their source? Once you break from your spirit, your morality, or their lack thereof, you become theirs. Of course, it goes without saying that as long as African people do not want to control the institutions of our community, as well as the community which those institutions are designed to serve, we cannot complain about whatever our children are turned into, because they would have been made to come from nowhere. Affirmed, my philosophy is found in my people's spirit. Affirmed, my philosophy is found in my people's spirit. March 27th. A close observation of Africa and its societies reveal that religion is at the root of African culture and is determining principle of African life. It is no exaggeration, therefore, to say that in traditional Africa, religion is life and life is religion. Kofi Opoku. Africans pray consistently and continuously. Prayer is embedded in our thinking. It is how we think. It is not something we have to make a great effort or set aside a particular time to do. It is normal, natural, and uneasy and unceasing. True, there are points when prayer is more emphasized and intense, like doing rituals such as libation, visitations of altars and shrines, and ceremonies. But African prayer is never ending. It is our indoctrination into Europeanized and Arabized African religions which have made prayer an isolated, formalized, scheduled, and regulated practice for us. Ongoing prayer keeps us consistently conscious of our thought and behavior relative to Ma'at. We naturally know what is right and wrong. We know that wrong brings unnecessary pain. Because we are deeply spiritual creatures, because we subconsciously know that we are more spirit than living matter, we understand the need to always be in contact with our higher spiritual selves. Affirm, I am conscious of the prayers I continuously offer. Affirm, I am conscious of the prayers I continuously offer. The book, Inyesesem, A Calendar of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts. This is Wednesday, so I got my host with me, my good friend, my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones. How you doing, Brother Franklin Jones?
I am doing fantastic. Hello, my brother from another mother. I would like to open up with these statements. If it is your belief that the plighted condition of black people are connected to a slave syndrome or a biblical prophecy, then you are either naive, ignorant, or in some cases stupid. Until you wake up, everything I say will offend you. Wake up, wake up, wake up.
I say, oh, I know that's right. You know, because we do have a problem understanding our situation. We don't believe, you know, that what is being done to us is being done to us because we are mentally, you know, menticide. It's menticide. It's a deliberate attack to destroy our minds. That's a quote from Dr. Bobby Wright.
It is so true. When people are oppressed for a long time, their collective aggression will always continue to grow until retribution against their oppressors becomes inevitable. And the only way to prevent this is to manipulate the minds of the oppressed to perceive themselves as being their own worst enemies and to make them believe that they are inferior and therefore need their oppressors to govern over their lives. This is what's being done to us because the white society controls the education that we're taught, the media images that we see, and the societal narratives that we routinely hear. This has allowed them to indoctrinate self-hating thoughts into our minds that protects themselves from black retribution. It has nothing to do with a slave syndrome. This is why the same condition exists amongst black people who are not descendants of slaves, such as found in Canada, the UK, and even in Africa. This conditioning that happens is a result of the monopoly that white oppressive forces have over the information that's fed into our minds. Regardless of how intelligent a person may be, if you're able to control the information that's been fed into your mind, you're able to control what they believe. That's what's being done to us. It's time to wake up.
Because if we don't, and believe me, you know, I know that we throw that quote around, I'm woke, but really what does that really mean, I'm woke? Because to truly be woke means that your conscious level and your understanding is that you hate the conditions that you're in. You hate the condition that your people are in. You find a love for your people and you want better for them. And you realize that the system that we are in is not for us and never will be for us. So you reject European ideology. You reject European philosophy. You reject European religion. You reject it. You reject it.
Our problem is too many of our people have normalized what have been done to us. There's nothing normal about bleaching our skins, wearing European weeds, calling ourselves niggers. There's nothing normal about us whatsoever. And those of us who recognize that it's not normal, we then cling to the belief that it's a slave syndrome, which is ridiculous. We have to recognize what's being done because if you normalize what's done to you, you can't overcome it. If we have a flawed understanding of our condition and our plight, then all remedies that stem from this misunderstanding will also be flawed. This is why it's time to wake up. This is the 400th year since the first slave was born to America. And it is your belief that our plight is connected to biblical myths and urban myths. And then you are a part of the problem. It is time to elevate our minds and start recognizing how our minds have been socially engineered to protect white dominance. Within the government, white governments, there's a need to protect the dominant society from dissent from the oppressed. So our minds are continually being manipulated through media, through education. We have to recognize what's being done to us, and it is time to wake up.
For us, brothers and sisters, this awakening in us is vitally important at this particular day and time. When we look at all of the things that are attacking us, when we look at all the things that these Caucasians have in mind for us, and everything they have in mind is for our elimination. We know what they have done historically, and we should know. We better know what they are doing presently and what they have planned for the future. We know that their birth rates are diminishing greatly around the world. In fact, they were paying Caucasian women to have children in Europe. A Caucasian named Ben Wathenberg wrote a book, The Decline of the West. Back in the 80s, they knew this was an upcoming problem. That's why you see many Caucasians who have done some heinous things to eliminate people and you hear no real outcry from the authorities. Now, okay, I granted you seen what happened in New Zealand, but you got to understand how New Zealand was created. You got to understand how Australia was created. You got to understand how America was created. They were created by Caucasians who believe that they were superior. That's why when I heard the other day about he's supposed to be a white supremacist. No, damn it. White supremacists are Caucasians who are in authority. The president, the Congress, the Senate, the judiciary, state government, county government, city government, industry, all of it is the belief that Caucasians have the right. In fact, their mindset is, even though it happened to you, even though I put you in servitude, even though I captured and put you into servitude, it was a means for an end. In fact, really, isn't it better for you? Isn't it better for you today that you have the ability to share in what we created? That's their mindset. That's their mindset.
That's become our mindset. They've indoctrinated those thoughts into our minds. Many black people today feel grateful that it was their ancestors that were enslaved because they've been indoctrinated to believe that. You see, although all white governments now publicly profess equality for all their citizens, they are secretly unrelentingly committed to the preservation of their white dominance and control. This unrelenting commitment has always necessitated that systems be put in place to program the minds of black people. There's also a profound fear of black retribution given our history. So therefore, there are those who are social engineering scientists and propagandists who programs our minds. It is no strange coincidence that black people openly put down their race. It's no strange coincidence that a black woman step and put down black men and vice versa. We are the only group who consistently and boastfully put down our own people. This is by design because our collective aggressions have been turned against ourselves. Until black people understand the socialization of a people, we will not liberate ourselves. We have to abandon our belief in silly, childish myths and recognize there's a science to maintaining dominance. There is a science to maintain a social order. And those in power uses their monopoly over narratives, over information, to manipulate the minds of the oppressed. We live in a society where the narratives of the dominant society prevails. False narratives. You have to understand this. Have you ever asked yourself, why is it that whites are perceived as the group of the highest ethics and moral value in spite of a brutal history to the contrary? And why blacks are perceived as the worst? Why? This is not consistent with history. You know why? Because societies does not function based upon facts or reality nor history. Society functions based upon the prevailing narratives that are fed into society. And white society constantly produces narratives that exalt and exemplify themselves. And they constantly vilify black people to validate their past and present mistreatment of black people. The system is called manufactured consent. And also, they maintain their dominance by keeping us demoralized. When you continually demoralize a people, I mean, for example, you ever notice how every day we see there's a new negative narrative about black people? Everything. You see how unrealistic that is? The goal is to keep us demoralized. When a people are continually demoralized, they become resentful of their own people. They become divided. And then some of them believe, you know what? We got to show white folks that we ain't all the same. And you go dancing around white folks trying to show them that we ain't all messed up. But because we believe it's Willie Lynch, we believe a fictional character from the past did it to us, we don't ever address the society who's doing it to us. There are social engineering scientists and propagandists who are manipulating our minds 24/7. It even starts with our educational system. For example, people says, why is it we're learning more about black history on social media networks than in school? Because you have to understand social science. For one group to maintain their dominance over another group, the oppressed group must be given an education that is the least racially affirming. When the oppressed is given an education that's least racially affirming, this assigns them mentally to accept their subordinate status within the dominant society. That's why many black people go up to white people, we sit a little straighter, we talk right to that white man. It's not a goddamn Willie Lynch. It's social engineering of our minds. It is time to wake up. If you walk around saying Willie Lynch, you are an idiot. You are an idiot. It is time to realize of the socialization of the minds of a people. Regardless of how intelligent a person is, if you're able to control the information that's fed into his mind, you're able to control what he or she will think. We have to understand what's being done. It's time to wake up.
That's right. It's time to wake up. That's right, brothers and sisters. It's time to wake up to the reality of our situation. And this situation is not just us in America, although the irony of it or the contradiction of it, that we as Africans here in America are the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet. We are. And what if I should do this presentation I used to call What If, you know, and one of the part of it is what if the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet, us, began to realize our connection to one another as African people and began to build that bridge and utilize all that we have learned, all the technology, all the things, all of the information that we have learned to share with our brothers and sisters on the continent to build Africa. Let me say this to you clearly. We can't do a damn thing here collectively. Individually, of course. But see, individualism is a European Caucasian desire. I think, therefore I am. But our phrase is, I am because we are. And because we are, therefore I am. It is collective. It's just like when the cracker told these group of kids in Africa, I want you to run a race from this point to that tree down there. And the first one that gets there, I'm going to give this big basket of goodies. All of them went together. And the Caucasian was upset. I said, one of you. And they said to him, no, Mbutu. Mbutu, we are together. I don't know if you've ever seen that picture when they talk about Mbutu with all the kids with their feet in a circle. Those who are taller, you know, stretched up, those who are shorter, lengthened out, but they made a perfect circle with their feet because they are together. That is the African way. Individualism is a Caucasian desire, but collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. We must come together collectively. Why do you think I consistently promote and believe in the concept of ULU, us lifting us? Or any other concept of collectivism, because that is our way. That is distinctly, it's not distinctly African. That fact, that is for a lot of other people. It is the European, the Caucasian, that came up with this idea of this hierarchy. Oh, granted, I understand there was a hierarchy in ancient Kemet as well. But that society was not a slave society. That society, whoever needed the most, got it. Whoever needed it the most, got it. If you needed care, if you needed food, if you needed shelter, you got it. It was a collective society. Yes, they had the pharaoh or king or whoever at the top, scribes on it, and then but those temples, those tombs, all of the structures, all of the things were not based on captivity and enslavement of anybody. I know the holiday pieces coming up on Easter, and you'll see the Ten Commandments. You'll talk about the Hebrews who are enslaved by Egyptians. It's a lie. It never happened.
Fairy tale. Total fairy tale.
It's a lie. There were no captives by command. Everything was done thousands of years before the first invasion of the Hyksos. And the Hyksos lasted a few hundred years. Then we kicked them out. And the only thing they brought in was the horse and chariot. Look it up. Go to research. Not go to Google. Go to our scholars. Go to our historians. Trust our scholars. Trust our historians. Believe in us. That's what I do.
It's an absolute fairy tale. According to the biblical so-called experts, they say the Great Flood happened 4,300 years ago. The latest studies on the Great Sphinx and the Great Pyramid show that they are much older than 4,300 years. So this shows you that they were built before the first Jew, so-called Jew, was ever born. So listen up. And they were even born before the so-called Adam and Eve line, which was 8,000 years ago. So you see, you're believing a fairy tale. You are focusing on a total fabrication of reality. We have to, every Wednesday we discuss the war on our minds, the attack on our minds. We have to understand, and we realize we cannot believe in myths and fairy tale. We have to function in reality in order to liberate ourselves. Now, I'm going to say some of you who are going to be calling in, I'm actually going to stay on message. Some of you call in and want to talk about current events. You want to talk about someone down the street. You want to talk about what I can't stand with black people. Now, I'm very curious about this because I know how the oppressors work. The oppressors have people that they hire to call in to divert us from talking about the war against our minds, to recognizing how it truly works and not holding on to myths and fairy tales. We have to recognize there is a deliberate war against our minds. These are tactics being used against us. For example, whenever a black person speaks up about white racism, he's called a racist. That's a tactic. That's a tactic known as mass gaslighting. You blame the oppressed for what the oppressors are guilty of. Then the oppressed starts trying to defend himself against the false allegations, and the true racist problem is never addressed. We have to understand that there are tactics being used against us. And we have to study these tactics, learn these tactics, study mass gaslighting warfare, study psychological warfare, study divide and conquer warfare. When the all of our narratives that we know of each other comes from the white dominant society. You ever wonder why there's this division that exists between many African Americans and many Africans? There's this division. This division exists how and why? It exists because the narratives that we believe about ourselves are controlled by white oppressive forces. Now, you have to study where this comes from. During the 1970s, under the Jimmy Carter administration, Zabrinsky, what's the first name?
Zygmunt
Zabrinsky did a study and said that everything had to be done to make sure that the African population be divided from African Americans. They had to keep us divided. Because in any warfare to control people, you must keep them divided, destroy the communication between them. So the information, since the white man controls the media, the information that the Africans see of African Americans are the criminals, the thug, the buffoonery, culturally disconnected, and many Africans become fearful of African Americans. Many African Americans, the image you see of Africa, we only see poverty, warlord, confusion, you know. So therefore, we're afraid of the Africans, and it creates this disunity. And here's why also Africa is so negatively portrayed in the West. It is an elaborate psychological warfare campaign because by continually showing black people negative images of Africa, it's designed to program our minds to feel grateful that it was our ancestors that were taken away from the backwards and evil land of Africa. And this is why we don't pursue the reparations that we still deserve, because we're made to feel grateful. We're made to perceive that the white man was the enslavement of our ancestors was more of a rescue mission. This is also why they program us to believe that a majority of slaves were purchased. Although for the fact that Africa had all the diamonds, all the golds, and Western money had no value in Africa, we were able to buy into the illusion that most of the slaves were purchased. We have to understand that we are given information, misinformation, that are designed to make us think in ways that benefits white society. White society controls the narratives that we receive, and they continually give us narratives that are designed to make us think in ways that protects and serves their interests. Until you recognize this, you are a damn slave. Until you recognize this, you are a slave. Oppressors always, throughout history, oppressors always maintain their dominance by continually manipulating the minds of the oppressed. And this manipulation is in with our education system, it's in our media, it's all around us. We have to recognize what's being done to us. It is time to function based upon reality and not myths, not fairy tales. For example, we were talking earlier about the Egyptian, the fallacies of the Hebrews. We have these black Hebrews going around saying, I hate Africans, African soldiers in slavery. Although the story is a total fairy tale. Mm-hmm. A total fairy tale. And they're teaching their children to hate Africans. They're teaching their children that we're cursed. We're cursed. So when you think you're cursed, you start functioning from the perspective that that is something less about you. And it also makes them more compliant and white dominance, because it makes them believe that what the white man does to them is all ordained by God. They believe that the white man mistreating them is a part of God's plan. You see how that benefits the white oppressors? And those who are ignorant, they buy these ideologies and they cling to them and don't realize how these ideologies mentally enslave us. Until we recognize how the white man creates narratives that are designed to divide us and mentally enslave us, we'll forever be their slaves. It is time to wake up.
It's been time.
Long overdue.
Long overdue. But we are where we are today. And what we need to do is, from this moment and this point forward, is to correct our attitude, our behavior, is to begin to love ourselves, love each other. I mean, I just saw another piece of this sister who went into a doctor's office, who's another sister who's a plastic surgeon, and she was adamant about bleaching her skin. She wanted to be lighter. She was beautiful. The sister was beautiful, nice, beautiful brown skin, but she wanted to be lighter because of what this Caucasian has done to us. I mean, it's just like Michael Jackson. We know people with vitiligo. We know there's albinos. All of it is us. These are genetic flaws within humans, unfortunately, that causes this. There's like other genetic things that may cause somebody to be shorter, or dwarfism, whatever. You know, all of these things, these are abnormalities. But in the general sense that I'm speaking of, that the mind is so messed up. Like, if you do have vitiligo, you can get your skin, they can pump melanin to it, and you can get your skin even out. You can do that. That can happen. So Michael Jackson didn't have to change himself into a Caucasian. He didn't have to. But he did, because of what the Caucasian has done to us, causing a pathology, a psychological pathology in us, and particularly in him.
It's really deep. Like he was saying, we are programmed to admire the character, the physical characteristics of Caucasians. But there was a study that many haven't heard of. You can research this. To me, it's shocking that people are walking around with computers in their pocket and believing lies that was taught to slaves. You have access to information. For example, we said, oh, we want hair like white people. They got good hair. Oh, they got that good hair. I want hair like white people. You want white skin. But you have to learn what's happening. Do you know studies have found, the most advanced studies in DNA has found that Homo sapien, the reason why black skin and woolly hair is the result of Homo sapien DNA. White skin and the animalistic straight hair is the result of Neanderthal DNA. Studies has found that the condition of white skin among Europeans is not the result of albinism. I know when we see the Africans have these albinos, we say, see, that's, they came from us. We've been so denigrated that we want to feel proud they came from us. But the latest scientific studies show that they are not albinos, but their white skin is a result of Neanderthal DNA. But because they control the information we receive, now we long to have Neanderthal skin color. We long to have animalistic Neanderthal hair. Our minds are programmed. You know, I tell people when I do my lectures, I said black people do not have dark skin. White people have pale skin. When we call ourselves dark, then we're saying that they are the normal and we're making ourselves the abnormal. We don't have big butts. They have flat butts. We don't have big lips. They have thin lips. What they do is they created where they've made themselves the normality and we made ourselves the abnormalities. We have to understand there are power in these words. Like, for example, term white supremacy and calling us minorities. Minority, the root word is minor. We represent minor. Mm-hmm. This is how they maintain their dominance. There are a smaller population, but through media propaganda and strategic wording, they perpetuate a larger number of who they are. They create a fallacy that they are more influential than they truly are. Because people function based upon the narratives they believe about themselves. There's a reason why they claim that the ancient Africans of Egypt were Caucasian. Because that's how they function. They perpetuate their superiority by distorting narratives. We must understand what's being done to us. Millions of Black people today, we send our kids to school. And when they come home, we say, oh, well, let me see your report card. Oh, you have an A. Congratulations. Let's celebrate the A. But the most of us do not go and realize that within the curriculum, there is a propaganda that's embedded within the education system that is designed to maintain white dominance. We send our children to school by Romans, and we wonder why they come home praising Caesar and hating Shaka. We have to open up and recognize what happened is we're being so programmed. When you have a person is born in ignorance, the parents that are ignorant, that ignorance becomes the norm. Indoctrination can be called education. Lies can be called truth because those people never know the truth. I'm trying to show you that you what you're calling norms is a program. So much of your program that when someone comes to free your mind, you think those who are trying to free your mind is trying to brainwash you. Mental slavery is the worst type because you attack those who are trying to free your mind. Jesus never existed. No man has ever walked on water. No man has ever raised the dead. It's a fairy tale. How do I know this? Because you can research it. Study the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed is when the Jesus story was created by the Romans. The Romans, and who were the Romans? The Romans were a group of people who engaged in debt for sports, mass orgies, homosexuality, pedophilia, sex with animals. These are the people who wrote the Bible.
Damn, bestiality.
Bestiality. Sex with children. This is a fact. These are facts. This is not an attack. This is a fact.
So then how can the Bible, then those who engage in that process and those activities, write a book that they say is devoid of any lies? It is the infallible word of God, and it is a moral context.
I mean, there's a profound flaw in Christianity. Let me show you, okay? Right now in the world, I know some of you think the world view is just where we live. But in the world, there are billions of people who were born in countries where Christianity has not reached. They study Buddhism, different, all types of religions.
Right, Hinduism,
okay?
Buddhism.
Now, their numbers are in the billions globally. Now, so if Christianity is truly the only way, are those billions of people doomed to hell simply because where they were born, where Christianity never reached? Such a thought would be immoral. So that means these billions of people are going to hell. You know why this flaw exists? Because Christianity is not true. It's a fallacy. If it was true, that means billions of people are dying every day because where they were born. You see, we have to start critically thinking. Most people don't critically think. Their minds, they take narratives and they function based upon the narrative. And this is how the elites control the masses. When you control the narratives, you can control all the people who believe those narratives. You have to understand there's a science to hacking the mind. And whenever governments control millions and billions of people, they use these tools of propaganda to influence the minds of the people. We have to recognize that everything we believe to be is a lie. I'll give you an example. Let's say the elites of America have an agenda to go to war. They want oil. Now, the elite sits at a table, say, okay, we want that oil. We'll benefit from the oil. Or we might say that that country is trying to create a new currency, and that currency is going to cripple us. So we have to go into that country, right? The elites then create a narrative that they feed the masses. They will start calling the leader, he's a dictator. He's killing his people. And they create this propaganda that they feed through the media to validate going to war. Then they go to war and they attack that country. And those soldiers believe that they're fighting for freedom, Operation Freedom. But these narratives merely are designed to program our minds. You have to understand where this comes from. This goes back to the Tavistock Institute of Human Behavior. Study it. How they start learning how you can control people's mind by continually feeding narrative. Because you see, people are like computers. Their mind works based upon the information that's repetitively fed into their minds. If you keep feeding certain information to a people, you can persuade a people to a certain directive without them even realizing it. There's a reason why many black people are self-hating and reveres and love whites in spite of a brutal history to the contrary. Because white people control the narrative that we receive. They control the education that we receive. They control the movies that we receive. Even when you're sitting there watching a superhero movie and you see a white superhero saving the world, we're being downloaded with information of the white savior. You have to understand this is by design.
We're gonna take a break. When we come back from that break, dear brothers and sisters, we got a lot of folks holding. I appreciate that. Continue to hold. It's not going to be a long break. And we're going to get to your questions, comments, or concerns. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stayed right here with us, okay?
Peace. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Right on. they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me, mercy. All things and what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from sand? Can't you stand?
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com.
And we are proud to announce that the number one Black Talk Radio Network for Black Media and Podcasting is us, Black Talk Radio Network, which is a part of TimeForAnAwakening.com, which we are a part of, and we're very happy about that. So congratulations to Brother Scotty Reed out there in Mount Holly, North Carolina, and that's outstanding. So we continue to make that happen for us in our Time for an Awakening and Black Talk Radio Network family. And so to me, if you're on any other service, like, you know, whatever, you should be with us because the more the better. And sometimes people share with each other's programs and so forth. Other programming right here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. After my program, I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And it's Time for an Awakening. And then Acres of Diamonds. On Monday from 6 to 8, right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy, 7 p.m. on Thursdays. And then on Fridays, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's POC, Revive. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. We got a couple calls. We have a caller here, 770-770. Good afternoon.
Blessings, Brother Oshie.
Hey, my brother, how you doing?
Beloved brother, in this warfare, in this love, in this unity. Ooh, I'd like to ask, the brother who spoke when I first tuned in about right before the break, I didn't catch that brother's name.
That's my co-host, and who will be having a program of his own right here
on Time for an Awakening Media. That's Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix. .com. Go to the blackpeoplematrix.com, Brother Franklin Jones.
Brother Franklin Jones. Brother, is he still available? Or was he?
Oh, yeah, he's right here with me.
Brother Jones, this is Brother Yessie here. How you doing, beloved?
Fine, my brother. How you doing today?
I'm kind of in agreement with you. We on good direction. That's kind of how we doing it. We on the right direction. What you said in terms of the media purposely being in place to do what it does. In response to that, what is your answer? Because I have an answer, but I'm interested in knowing what your response to what you've observed is.
Okay, what's the remedy? The remedy
starts. The remedy.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Gaining the information is inherently a part of the remedy. Because for the system to continue to manipulate us, we have to remain ignorant to it. Once we are made aware of the system and how we're being attacked, out of a necessity to survive, we stop listening to, we start teaching the truth. Now, to show you how I'm not oversimplifying it, I'm going to explain this to you how this works. Let us use a scenario, for example, of there's an African village. And on this African village, there are some European neighbors who are poisoning their well. Now, in this African village, the poison well results in old people dying, babies dying. Not knowing what's being done to them, they may start to formulate superstition. They believe that they're cursed. They believe that there's some type of hoodoo, voodoo going on. But when you teach the people the truth, that they're under attack because their well has been poisoned by their enemies, what happens? The knowledge expands their mind, and out of necessity to survive, they develop counter strategies. They will stop drinking from the well. They will then dig a second well. Then they will place guards on the second well. And then they may even attack those who are poisoning them. The information, the mind, once expand to a greater level by truth, always develop counter strategies. So the goal here is, as long as our people believe that our plight are connected to myths and fairy tale, we will remain in bondage. Because the mind cannot be elevated by using myths and fairy tales. But once we understand that there are social engineering scientists and propagandists whose job is to continually manipulate the minds of Black people as a means of protecting the white society, we will then develop counter strategies. Once we recognize that within our school system, it is by design that Black children are not given the same degree of a racially affirming information as white kids, because this is how they maintain their dominance. The information, once we realize, we will start supporting our own schools because we see the necessity for it. We start building our own media because we understand what's being done. The media negatively socially engineers us also. For example, many people believe that the media reflects our reality. However, in truth, it is most often we who imitate what we see of ourselves in the media. Therefore, those who control the media image of a people are able to steer their culture. For example, many Black people believe that we call ourselves niggas because we made it into our own word. That's a damn lie. It was indoctrinated into our society starting in the late 1960s and through the 70s through the Black exploitation films that was written, directed by whites. And we watched it and we started using those behavior because they control our narratives. They control our image. But the information frees the mind. We must continue to spread truth. Also, I was trained in propaganda while in the U.S. military, okay, by whites. And it says the only way to fight propaganda is with counter-propaganda. And counter-propaganda is about truth. It's about truth. Now, that's why I'm saying the solution is inherently a part, is built within the information. Now I would love to hear what you was going to recommend, because all is good. There's no one remedy. So please, tell me the remedy that you had in mind.
My beloved brother. Oh, my goodness. I thought I was listening to me for most of, as a matter of fact, all of it, with the exception of one thing. I'd like to remind you, my beloved brother, take a deep breath through your nose and breathe out through your mouth slowly, because I don't want people to think you are upset over the knowledge that you are dropping. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, my brother. I do.
Okay. Now, in the effect that we know exactly how they did, most of what they did, everything you said is absolutely correct. In that effect, our productive resources in retaliation, or, and I shouldn't say in retaliation because that's too aggressive for some people listening. So I'll hone that to for survival purposes so that they understand this is a life and death situation. Someone wants us dead. They've poisoned our well. We have to first find out who's done this and take further actions to ensure they'll never be able to do that again.
Yes.
I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Now, continuing from that, how do I get the information back into my people? What did they use? They used film.
Yes.
They used the news media.
Yes.
They used sporting events.
Yes.
They used school allegiances.
Yes.
They used food.
Yes.
They used... What didn't they use? Nothing. There was nothing they left out of their warfare against us. Now, how do we get it back in? This is part of it. In fact, because this is family that should be listening, and your family all across these Americas, what we spoke of earlier was the format for which those of us come together to produce the remedy, because we are healing our people. Everyone on this broadcast should think of yourself as being healed, and while you're being healed, you are healing your brother and your sister first, because there's something that's amiss on the earth that we'll be dealing with the entire time we're doing this, to include this right now. What we spoke of in an earlier conversation was the film that says that it's finished from the future that we can produce right now, just like they give us fake heroes.
Yes.
And we can tell ourselves and our children this is exactly what we're doing as a part of what we're doing. And the rest will eventually come out in the news that we produce, because it'll be we who produce the news.
Yes.
Yet, at this point in our warfare, as cooperatives, as organizations, as churches, as mosques, mm-hmm. we must begin this relationship with full intent of nothing getting in the way of completing the loving transition of the things that are out there that need to be turned into good. That's to eliminate having to kill excessively.
Yes.
What say you, my brother?
Brother, I'll listen to you. I'm going to say this first. I love your awakened mind. I love your awakened mind. I totally get you 100%. And I have your number, and I'm going to call you after this. We're going to communicate. And when you said the word in reference to kill, when I call you, we'll talk. And there's a reason why I didn't discuss that portion. I will call you. And so you'll have my number after this.
Yes.
All right, Brother Yossi, thank you for the call. And we're going to go to 646.
Brother Oshie, thank you.
Yes, Brother Yossi.
Thank you.
Always, my brother. Always.
Thank you.
Bless.
All right. 646. 646. Good afternoon.
Hey, Oshie and Franklin, what's happening, y'all two good brothers, man?
All right, my brother, all's good.
Glad to hear that. Hey, Oshie, I got a quick one for you today. I was having a discussion with a good friend of mine earlier, and I thought you would really maybe have somewhat of a say on this. He was saying that the NCAA was no different than a slave master. What you think?
Well, that analogy has been made by many people. In fact, that analogy was made by a player that played for Duke University. His parents made that analogy. That this whole environment is that of, listen, man. It's just like I've been saying, This is Bill Maher, and I, you know, don't care too much about Bill Maher, but this is a good piece. He says, March Madness is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on. Making tons of money off the unpaid labor of our people. He didn't say our people. He said black people. But I say our people. And that's a fact. That is a fact. Billions of dollars are being wagered. Billions of dollars are being spent. There's a virtual who's who of corporate America sponsoring these events. Everybody's making money. Some of the coaches who will reach the Final Four probably in their contract. It is something that's an incentive in their contract for doing so. These individuals have multiple revenue streams. And the youth and these young people, they can't even sell their likeness. They can't sign autographs. Some of them can't even have jobs. So, no, you know, I agree with them. I don't know if you agree with them, but I agree with them. I have a deep disdain for the NCAA, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, and how it operates. You know, I mentioned the other day, all the money they have, they have so much damn money. They're able to put on a real show. Look at the floor. Look at the arenas. The arenas are public arenas. But they bring their own equipment. They bring their show to that arena. That used to didn't be the case many years ago. If you watch probably the most watched championship of NCAA was 1979, Michigan State, Indiana State, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson in Utah, in Provo, Utah. That's their floor. There was no insignias. There was no commercialism. There was no logos. But today is all that way because of the amount of money and the fact that they don't have to give those young men who are on the floor a damn dime. And when you look at the teams, most of the players who are on the floor are us. They have Caucasians sitting on the bench for practice. They hardly get in the game unless it's a serious blowout. So you can make that analogy. What do you say, Jay?
I can't make the analogy in regards to slavery. I mean, maybe you could say it something else, but nah, man. Slavery was a total brutal situation that the NCAA doesn't even equate with in regards to that type of brutalization. The reality is the whole educational system is more at fault than I'll say the NCAA is. Because if you're a basketball player that has the ability to go to college, you're going to get a free education. So whereby you're being paid something for your ability. Now, the thing is, when you have athletes who have come through the situation that have no business being in college, then that's another story, just being there based on their athletic skills. The reality is, your athletic skills does not guarantee you somewhat the ability to make a living. It gives you an opportunity, maybe, but it's no guarantee. Now, what I will give credit to in regards to the NCAA is that at some point in time, and this has changed over the years, if a person awakens to the fact that they were, I would say, used by the NCAA and the higher education institution that they went to in the system, that they didn't receive the education or the help that they should have, they'll put things in place to address that and to rectify that. So, I mean, I'm not going to equate it with slavery.
Well, let me just say this about that, Jay. Let me say this about that. I think the analogy is somewhat correct in the respect that you are laboring on the court, making billions of dollars and not getting a dime.
No, I agree with you. The horrors of our enslavement is truly deep. But let me say this again. I came up with a piece many about 15 years ago, sitting at the firehouse table, talking with some gentlemen just like I'm talking with you. I said, to me, what they should do is give these players a stipend. Pay them. Give them $3,000-$4,000 during that season to be put away for them once they retire. And then they don't have to go to class, because a lot of them don't go to class because they're practicing. The football players in the big schools, Jay, let me finish this point. The football and basketball players in the big schools, I'm talking about the top five conferences, the Pac-10, the Big Ten, the SEC, whatever. They don't hardly even go to class. So pay them a stipend and then guarantee them their education once their athletic eligibility was up. You guarantee them the education because they won't get it during the season. Richard Sherman said that, and he went to Stanford. He barely got his degree. He's an intelligent brother. There was a Caucasian who said the same thing. He said, in fact, it was Josh Rosen. He said, it is very difficult. I come from a privileged background. It is very difficult to go through the rigors of athletics in college, in big time college sports, and still go to school. I ain't talking about all college. I'm talking about the ones that make the big money. I'm talking about the ones that you see on Saturdays and during the week in conference play and on Saturdays on the big football fields. That's what I'm talking about. Give them a stipend. Let them resume their education once their eligibility has been expired. Here's a good case. His name is on the tip of my tongue. It's Kevin something. He went to Creighton University. Creighton used that brother for 4 years and then kicked him to the curb. He couldn't even read. He went to Chicago. He went to Marva Collins School in Chicago. And you see him sitting in those tiny seats with all those little young students. But today, he's a teacher. He understood the importance of education. Today, he is a teacher. But they use you up. So I'm saying to you, Jay, yes, I agree to some extent. No, you really can't compare it to the enslavement of our people. Truly. Because the enslavement to our people, the being stripped of all knowledge of self, our names, our culture, our traditions, and all of that. Yeah, I understand that. But to also have a system in this day and age that makes billions of dollars, and the people on the floor who make it don't get a damn thing. I'm going to tell you, Jay, if I had the ability, I would organize all those brothers to say, hey, we are not going to play a down. We are not going to bounce a damn ball until there's some kind of program worked out for our benefit. They come from communities, as you know, that are impoverished. They make all that money for the university. What does that community get? Not a damn thing. And then usually that young man goes back to that community in a situation just like he left it, with no degree and no prospects for the future. So that's my contention.
Yes, what Brother Oshie is saying, I understand you saying it ain't quite like slavery, but what Brother Oshie is saying is the exploitation of these black men is real and is strong and it's severe. They are being severely exploited by the white society. That's the similarity he's making.
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, you know, the society in general is about exploitation. I mean, it's not just with athletes. It's with any and everyone. The bottom line is, if you're not educated, then you'll definitely be exploited. The sad thing is that we live in a society that we do not prepare our children with a vision for the future. So whereby you have a situation to where as you can't even get the athletes to collectively come together to challenge the system to be able to get the stipend in which you're talking about. Because you have those that have the ability to process information and those that don't have the ability to process information. But like I said, you can't equate it with slavery.
All right, my brother.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, anybody could have. But listen, I got to run. Somebody just came to my door.
Peace, Jay. All right, brother. Peace to you. 447-447, good afternoon, or where you are, good evening.
Well, it's 4 o'clock, actually. We're still before the daylight. We change our clock. So it's 4:55 here. But good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. You know, Brother Oshie, thanks for bringing on this great brother, Franklin Jones. And let me say thank you for Rap for bringing you on. You know, I think, did you say earlier on, Brother Franklin Jones is going to get his own show?
Yes.
Yeah, that's correct. I'll be announcing the dates of my show real soon.
Well, you know, we got to recognize and acknowledge that when people say we don't work together, here is an example of we do work together. And too often we use that narrative and it's not true. We do work together. We may not work together on the biggest scale, which is necessary to beat the bigger project, but we do work together. And as I understand that, Brother Ralph introduced Brother Oshie introduced Franklin, yes. And the platform grows, and that's how it works. Yes. Have I got it wrong?
No, you're right. No, you're on point, brother.
100%. You're always right, brother.
So we got to stop saying that we don't work together because we do work together. Yes. And this your example is a great example of that. And, you know, each one teach one to reach one, and we're expanding. Yes. And I like to go back to the subject as you brought up, Franklin Jones, because it's a very important subject. You see, for me, we're phoning in as an international caller, because I'm phoning outside of America.
Yes.
I'm phoning from the UK, London. I tend to work on that international basis, or I wouldn't be ringing. I can't deal with some of the subjects where I hear raised, obviously, because they're subjects which are national to you, the nationalistic subject. I think tend to think on a global basis. I think of any African anywhere on the planet.
Yes,
I agree. I agree. I agree, Brother Paul, because I'm the same way.
Totally. Yes.
I have to think like that, OG, because when I follow what Brother Franklin quite rightly says, we are being indoctrinated, and one of that parts of being indoctrinated is to wrap ourselves around the flag and believe that if the flag is going to save us, or this nationalistic identity, we are the greatest, we are special people, and all this nonsense bullcrap is part of the indoctrination.
Yes.
It's what Hitler done to raise up his people. We are special people. We are the Aryans. We are all the... It's all bullcrap. It's nonsense.
Yes.
And if the people who have traveled anywhere in the world, you'll find a pattern of behavior which to every pattern of people. It's jealousy, envy,
yes.
Ambition. All these patterns you'll find everywhere around the world. Yes. No one is more special than anybody else. It's all nonsense. Absolute nonsense. It's part of the indoctrination. I don't buy into that at all. Never, ever. I realize that people, you know, you meet good people, you meet bad people.
Yes.
And hopefully you try to attract the good people. But, you know, Brother Franklin,
yes,
I so much appreciate Brother Oshie for bringing you in, and I know that the fact that the ancestors are working. I thank you, Brother Franklin, for waking up the people, because the people need waking up. And I just want to remind them that Hollywood, that place called Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
the master of spooks and cows and brainwashing, right?
Yes.
That term Hollywood actually comes from a stick where the Druids used in this country, England. It was the Druids who used to have that, or what they call the wizards. They were Druids. They had a cult called Druids, and they used a stick called Hollywood, which was made from the Hollywood plant.
Yes.
And they've taken that name and created that same magic and that same illusion, which they've used to brainwash the people, absolutely conditioned people. And it'd be wrong for me to say in America you find the most mentally conditioned people on the planet.
Yes.
But the truth of it, Hollywood has been very successful in creating illusions, which unfortunately people have been hoodwinked by and buy into, hook, line, and sinker.
Yes.
So this idea that, you know, that we are special, sometimes, especially indoctrinated, may be a better term to accept. And no one needs to argue that most of the media, CNN, Fox News, and all the rest of them, is absolutely a form of total and absolute indoctrination. They do not give you the true picture of what is happening in the world. How can you not have a true picture of what's happening around the world and think that you know anything? I mean, how can that be possible?
Yes.
How can you base your idea on what you think is going on and not know what the rest of the world is going on? And this would suggest that you are the answer to anything. Yes. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. We know no America landed on the moon. We know
yes,
that.
Yes, it's a lie. Yes,
to get on the moon.
Yes,
right. We know that the Russians put the first finger in space.
Yes.
We know that they've been fighting this illusion to keep themselves ahead.
Yes,
and creating all these illusions of grandeur. We know that the world knows that now because we've got the internet. So the world has woken up.
Yes.
It's only a group of people who think they're still in this paradigm,
yes,
in this illusion, and this illusion is being created by mass media.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what pains me the most, Brother Franklin?
Yes.
It really does pain me. We, the black people, are the ones who are supposed to be in touch with ourselves, know thyself. And that means that you're in touch with your ancestors,
yes,
you're in touch with the root, which is Africa. And with those elements, you can see through the bullcrap.
Yes.
Yeah? But unfortunately, we want to identify ourselves as African descendants of slaves. We want to identify ourselves as Maroons.
Yes.
We want to identify ourselves as everything but the root.
Yes.
That's a lost person. You've got to accept that is a totally and absolute person who's out of their mind.
Yes.
So, brother, you keep up the good work, and when you get your show, I'll be the first one to tune in, and I'll go as far as to say this. When you're ready to come to England, I'm willing to invest in it. Both you and Brother Rochi, I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. So I want you to be an international player. I want you to travel the world. I want you to wake our people up, both you and Brother Rochi, because I think you've got the key.
Brother Paul, when you speak, I hear the African spirit in you. I hear the ancestors working through you. I love your African spirit. Love you, my brother. Thanks for calling in.
One more thing I want to say,
yes,
right? I absolutely love your passion, and I want you to be passionate. I want you to speak it as you feel it. I don't want you to dress it up for nobody.
Yes.
I don't dress it up for nobody, if you
yes
really know me.
I know.
I don't bow down. I don't pretend. I don't act. I say it as I feel it.
Yes.
And if I feel it, I'll say it. And I want you to say the same, because that's what I'm most attracted to. I'm sick and tired of these so-called experts coming on and with their academia and all
yes
their nonsense theories of that. I'm sick of it. I don't want to hear it. That's in fact, it's so bad now, I just switch off. I don't want to hear what they've got to say.
Yes,
I want to hear real people. I want to hear grassroots people. I want to hear people who are feeling this, what we're going through. It's
yes
madness. And I want them to talk it as it is.
Yes, my
and
brother.
Brother, you just keep up the good work. And Brother Otis, thank you for being on this cover again. And thank you for being on this platform and giving us what we need.
Thank you,
continue
my brother
the good work.
Thank you for calling
thank
my brother.
Right on, brother.
Right on, Brother
Paul.
Brother,
appreciate
brother
you, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you so
thank
much
you.
Right on. Yeah. So, you know, the reality is that this is a global situation that has happened to African people. Wherever African people are on the planet, and wherever Caucasians are, they are. In fact, Dr. Bobby Wright once again said it best in his outstanding work, Psychopathic Racial Personality. It's a brilliant essay. If you don't have it, please get it. But he says is that this defies all laws of probability. Wherever they are and we are, even though we're in the vast majority, but yet they're in control. Wherever they are and we are, they're in control and we're in a subservient position. This defies all laws of probability, and it's a damn shame. But because they, as Brother Frank here has said, they control the narrative. They control the narrative, you know. So I maintain, dear brothers and sisters, why this program is important. Now, granted, you know, I say all the time, I'm not giving you my opinion, because my opinion is deeply profane. I hate these motherfuckers. I've developed an attitude about Caucasians, and understand this, not individual Caucasians. I've worked with some good Caucasians. In fact, the cat that coached football with me was a Caucasian dude, straight up man. Me and him worked together for almost 30 years, working with our children, working with young underprivileged children in the city of Milwaukee. And we paid for everything. When you played for my football team, there wasn't no fees. The only time you were charged something is you lost something. Because we understood who we were working with and the community we were working with. And we wanted to provide for those young men and even young women, because a number of young ladies played for me, a atmosphere and a condition where they can feel good about themselves and feel good about the team. We had good uniforms.
I mean, everything was deeply structured. So, but I'm saying is that I ain't talking about individual. I'm talking about the Caucasian collective, which is, of course, is European Caucasian extremism. Thanks for that, Paul. Racism and privilege. Yes, there is no such thing as race. There's only one race, the human race, of which African people are the fathers and mothers of. Brother just mentioned that true Africans, the first people, have no, N-O, Neanderthal DNA. The Neanderthal DNA came as a survival mechanism when Africans left out of Africa, got cut off by the Ice Age. You mutated. You changed. So you're saying to me, Brother Oshie, Caucasians are mutations? Yes. Either you adapt to the environment or you die. All humans have an adaptability. All humans have some mutation within their structure, within their environment to survive a condition. When you look at Chinese or Asians whose eyes are slanted, when the migration started to happen, they got caught in higher elevations. In higher elevations, precipitation comes down, usually has snow. And if it snowed yesterday and today it is sunny and you're outside and the glare off that snow from the sun is going to cause you to do what? Exactly, squint. Because you don't have dark shades on where you can see clearly or whatever, you squint. And so as a consequence, that is, once again, a survival. It's the same in Australia. Look how the people who they call Aborigines, the indigenous people, after the Caucasians took it, the British, how do they look? They have dark skin. They have wide noses. But they have stringy hair. Because that environment is hot and arid during the day, but it's real chilly at night. They have stocky bodies. They don't have a tall, slender body. They have stocky bodies because of the coldness in the evenings. All of these things are just human differences to adaptability to the environment. They have nothing to do with intelligence. They have nothing to do with the ability to learn or whatever. But the Caucasian, in his evil mindset, no, I don't believe in the, you know, Yop Kub and the grafting and, you know, the science. No, I don't believe in fairy tales. And that's not disparaging the Nation of Islam. But the Nation of Islam put out a piece that said that, you know, we are cursed. And I hated that they did that. I really do. But, you know, Brother Saru Seti, with his vulgar self, he put a piece out exposing the Nation of Islam of that fact. And they got to deal with that. I love the brothers and sisters in the nation. Work with them tremendously. But if the minister says that we are cursed and when we want our hair to be like our eyebrows, I got issue with that. You know, you want straight hair. Have you ever seen Minister Farrakhan without his hair being slicked? And the fact that it's still black is another miracle, you know. But the point I'm saying is that we are an African people. We are African people that have populated the world. We gave this world its first humanity. When people came from far and white, from far and wide, to sit at our feet in ancient Kemet, it was a blessing. Well, let's take this call, 404-404. Go ahead. Good afternoon.
Yes, are you addressing me?
Yes, I am, Queen. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you so much. I'm well, Brother Oshie. I've just decided to tune in today, and I'm always glad that I do.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, let me just say this, that in the words of one of our great world transmitters, no mind your nationality. You have got the identity of an African. Our long brother Peter Tosh. Okay. So we all are Africans.
Right.
Know it, like it, believe it, want it or not. We are all African. And in the beginning of your narrative, you said, our spirituality is what sustained us. And our spirituality is what will continue to provide us the path forward. Because once we were on these shores, that is all we had, is our spirituality. And that will never leave us. It will never let us go, even if we want it to let us go. As we have assimilated with this evil culture. And yes, we are still part of enslavement. I detest that word, S-L-A-V-E. We are no longer slaves, only to our desires and in our minds. Okay. That's where you are encaptured and enslaved. And the brothers who run up and down the court and make the first downs and all like that, they are the gladiators in the game of Roman ancestry. Exactly. They're just gladiators.
Exactly.
And I do wish we, what to do now? We do have to come together. We do have to overcome this Caucasian European domination mindset. We have to do that. And we have to go into the schools and the churches and the mosques. We should not let the way people practice their reverence of the Creator separate us any longer. It's nonsense. It's foolishness. And the time of enlightenment is now. And some of us have the truth. And it's imperative upon us to give the truth because it does not belong to any one of us. And in closing, I'd like to say I thank our master teachers who dedicated their lives to bringing us this truth and this enlightenment. Thank you, Brother Oshie. Thank you, Brother Frank. Thank you, contributors of this talk show. Thank you, Creator. And we got a whole lot of work to do.
Yes, we do.
Our lives.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Queen.
Peace to you all.
Peace. Peace, my sister. Yeah. You know, what the Queen said is on point. You know, the fact, though, is we're bombarded. We're bombarded 24/7, 365, with images and notions of our inability, our inferiority, everything around us. That's what I'm saying. To truly be woke is that you have now looked at everything that the Caucasian presents to you as something that is adverse and against you, and you reject it. I know that's very hard for us to do, you know. It's very extremely hard for us to do because we've been so indoctrinated. We've been so trained to believe everything that they say. That's why for many of us, they don't want to hear about Africa. They have been trained to hate being African and to hate Africa. Africans, they make jokes about it. Africans are trying to leave Africa. Everything, everybody wants to be in Africa for the resources, the land, and so forth, but Africans. Even the Africans on this continent, as I mentioned earlier, who are the most technologically advanced Africans, what if those Africans decided that, hey, after 400 years of being in this madness, we can see we are still going nowhere as a people. I don't give a damn about a dark face in a high place here or there. I don't care about some African who made tremendous amounts of money when our situation is still what it is. Damn them and damn that. Let's go home. Let's go home and work with Africans on the continent to build Africa. Let's go home and where we can do the work instead of Chinese. We can build roads, highways, sewer systems, water systems, energy systems, schools, hospitals, ports, railroads. Let's go home. We can do these things. It is all in our ability. The only thing that prevents us from doing it, brothers and sisters, is our minds. That's the only thing that prevents us from doing it is our minds. That's it. We could do it if we reclaim, recapture, and restore our minds, our history, our traditions, our spirituality, not religion, not religion. Even on the continent, it is sad and sick to see the deep hold that Christianity has on the minds of our people. I was checking out the top wage earners, ministers, in the top 10. Creflo Dollar here in Atlanta, he ain't in the top 10. T.D. Jakes, I think T.D. Jakes is either in Dallas or in Houston, one or the other. I don't give a damn. But he ain't in the top 10. But there's two or three Nigerian ministers who are in the top 10 who are destroying the minds of their people so he can be rich. Look at Nigeria. That's why I have a problem with Nigeria and Nigerians, because they had the possibility of being the example for Africa with the mineral resources they had. But no, corruption and graft set in, selling off, manipulation. It's ridiculous. So what I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, the only thing that we have the opportunity to do to save ourselves is to change our minds. It is simple as that, but I understand it is hard as that as well, because the cracker has a vice grip on our minds. And if you understand that tool, that just can't be loosened. Okay? You just can't pull that vice grip apart. There's a knob at the handle, at the end of the handle of the vice grip. When you start to turn that knob, that is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self. That is acquiring an understanding who you are historically and culturally. It is an understanding who you are spiritually. Once that is infused in you, instilled in you, you can release the vice grip and look at the cracker for who and what he is. Not that you challenge him, because the cracker suffers from cognitive dissonance. There ain't a damn thing you can say to make the cracker believe that he is not superior. He rejects all the evidence in the world that is out there that he is not. Because in his core belief that he is, look what he has done. He has gone around the world taking people's stuff in the name of Spain, Portugal, France, England, Italy, Germany, Belgium. I had a layover. I was supposed to have a layover. I didn't want to go to Belgium. I said, I ain't even going to layover in Belgium for what Leopold did in the Congo and how rich Belgium is because of coming out of the Berlin Conference of 1884-85 of carving up Africa. And now they have Belgium chocolate. How they get, ain't no damn cocoa fields in Belgium. How they get it? The exploitation of Africa has to stop. And the only people who are going to stop it is us. Is us. Just like when the brother said, just like my co-host Franklin said about the narrative. What did they do to Muammar Gaddafi? He was going to introduce the gold dinar, which would have upset the economics of the Europeans. So what do? They formulate this idea that he was a madman, that he was killing his people. Yeah. It is proven that the people of Libya under Muammar Gaddafi lived better than any other of the Arab countries who had wealth. He shared that wealth. It is a fact. Western society, the blood of Muammar Gaddafi is on the hands of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and other countries of the West. They manufactured that to kill him. And now look at Libya today. It's a damn mess where our people are being sold back into captivity, into servitude, where men are being castrated like they did in the first wave of Arab enslavement of our people. I'm going to take a phone call. Brother, 447 again, Brother Paul.
But I just had to come back. There's a few things I want to drop for the listening audience. Yeah. You know, and I want to add to the great contribution. We are down here in London here, and we are fighting against our children being vaccinated. Now, I don't need to tell you that most of us do not know. 99% of us, I think it's safe to say, do not really know what is in these vaccines. One of the things we have an idea of is mercury. Mercury is one of the most toxic substances known to man. It poisons the brain and gives you brain damage. There's evidence to suggest, people have done it, that black boys suffer brain damage, which is autism.
Yes,
yes, yes.
Disproportionately than other things.
Yes.
I've actually seen this, you know, because I had young children in nursery, and I witnessed a group of twins, and in one nursery, a set of twins and two other black boys with autism in one nursery. Yeah. Now, I've read up on this, and I've done the research, and this thing is real. So, I know that I have a connection in America. I've been watching this, and I've been watching what people have been saying about it before they made a big issue of it now. And lo and behold, we have the same things going on now, to the point where if you want to take your child to nursery, unless you have a vaccine, they won't accept your child, despite the fact that evidence has said that MMR vaccine can give your child brain damage. So these are the things we are fighting against. And you have the other vaccine, which they call HPV. I don't know if you're familiar, the human papillomavirus, which they claim girls can get cervical cancer by a certain age. I refuse to give my daughters that. I have three daughters. Two of them were at the age. I refuse. I think it's 12. It's compulsory. I refuse. Yes. And I went through correspondence back and forth. I was invited to the school, and I told them point blank, they're not having it. It's just not happening.
Yes.
So eventually what ended up happening is I thought, well, this is going to go far, but they just ignored it. And I think I was, my daughters, two out of 400 children in that school, the only children who didn't have it. Okay. Yes. Now that's the reality of our situation. Most people seem to have lost power in fighting this beast. So I totally appreciate what Brother Frank is saying, but I want to add the other aspect of it is this chemical castration.
Yes.
When they are forcibly injecting our people with toxins that damage the brain, right, or damage the immune system. Yes. We have to be real about that. Now, to me, that tells me this. This is what it tells me, Brother Olchi, and I say this with no apology. It tells me that the time for action is now.
Yes. Because
they're telling you that you have no choice over your children. If they want to intoxicate your children, give you brain damage, right, then they're going to do it. Even though we know that this is the case. Yeah, some might not get it, right? Some might be totally okay. I was telling a friend of mine at one market, I was telling him a story about I didn't give my daughters the HPV. And this woman come and tapped me on the shoulder, and she held her mouth. I turned around, it was an Asian woman, and she had her daughter there. She said, you know, my daughter was in a coma. I said, why was your daughter in a coma? She said, after she had the HPV vaccine, she got septicemia and nearly died. Right? This was, I never met this woman before in my life. And I looked at my friend, I said, look, you see there? It's exactly there. Yeah? Now, that's the reality. We haven't got figures for how many of our children have been brain damaged by these toxins. And then we claim to love our children. Look,
yes.
The reality is this. We can't afford no divisions anymore. Right? When people are talking about divisions, they are total idiots. We can't afford on this planet divisions.
Right.
We need to come together, because in order to defeat this enemy with his vast infantry, we have to unite.
Yes.
So it's not even a question anymore.
Yes.
It's a must.
Yes.
Right? So why do I phone in here? I phone in here to make you know we have got no more time for playing, talking about foolishness and nonsense. We have to come together. That's it, end of story. And for those who don't want to come, they have to be totally blanked out and ignored, walked as though stepped over, because there's no more time. If these people are telling you that they're going to force your children to be intoxicated with these substances, yeah, and you've got no choice over that, then it's time for us to take different steps. This is not an ask anymore or beg or pray. This is the time to take action. And I'm right now, Brother Olchi, I feel I need to talk to the men. Who are men? I really do. I feel I need to talk to the men. I feel I really need to talk to the men, because I'm wondering what has happened to the men.
They've been effeminized.
What happened to us?
They've been punkified, sissified. They've been effeminized. That's what happened to the men. But intent.
Well, it's time for us to stand up, Brother Olchi, right? I don't know they're listening. But I don't care. Because the reality is that nothing happens before it's time. And it's time now. It's not time for these nonsense conversations about nonsense. We have to come together. It's just a must, because we need to defeat this enemy. And once we've defeated it, then we can talk about all the rest of it. But we need to come together, because right now in Africa, it's a shambles. You just mentioned Nigerians, right? But I don't think you really know what's going on down in Nigeria. I've asked for certain representatives. I'm part of certain groups who are connected in Nigeria, and I've asked for them representatives to come on this radio station, and for some reason or the other, no one's taken it, you know, I've spoken to the people, but they're not really taking me up seriously. And I know you don't really know, because I'm there with them every week, right? And there's division down there. And we could help this division if we brought it to the surface, right? Because, you know, I hear, you know, Africans come to America and this and that, but there's real problems down there. These people are assaulting Africa like never before. Mm-hmm. And I think we're in a bit of an illusion. Yes. They're assaulting Africa like never before. I talk to Sister Sesame every other week. I talk to her. She's on my group. And it's through your show I do that, right? I've made that connection.
Beautiful.
She's in Africa, as you know.
Yeah, she's in Botswana. And, yes.
Right. So, you know, she informs me. She tells me what's happening down there on the ground. Look, we can't save everything, but if we start talking, that's what they do not want us to do, communicating, right, globally.
Right.
Because they're very smart. Divide and conquer has always been their tool.
Yes.
Divide and conquer.
Yes.
That is their main weapon of choice.
Yes.
Divide and conquer. And like Brother Franklin says, they do it through psychological warfare. They're also doing it through the drugs.
Yes.
They're also doing it through the vaccination.
Yes.
Okay? So I'm just asking you, I'm making a plea.
Yes.
That it's time to put our differences aside.
Yes.
Like yesterday, Marcus Garvey said this 100 years ago. And 100 years later, we're still saying the same damn thing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
that is madness.
Yes.
That is madness. Madness.
Yes.
We've got to put aside the madness and just do what we need to do. That's what we need to do now. Do what we need to do, and we need to come together and do it.
That's Ashe.
It, brother. Ashe, Paul,
thank you
brother,
for giving
Paul,
me the time. Thank you for giving me the time again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Always,
thank
brother.
You.
Thank
always,
you.
Always appreciate you calling in, my brother. Always appreciate you. You know? Always appreciate the brothers on here. You know, I want to say something in closing, running out of time. I want you to think for a second. Have you ever noticed that all information about black people from white sources are negative? Or how is it possible that virtually all studies conducted by white sources that makes any comparison between blacks and white tend to always favor whites? This defies all laws of probability. What's being done here is social scientists describe this process as indoctrinating a value system into the minds of black people that makes us more compliant with white dominance over our lives. They have the monopoly over the information we receive, and they manipulate that information to mold our minds to think in ways that serve their interests. By making us believe that we are lesser than them, this makes us more compliant with their white dominance. There are social scientists who are attacking our minds. It is time to wake up and see the reality. As long as you're believing in bullshit like biblical fairy tales and Willie Lynch, Mitch, you will never awake. Realize there's a science that is used for maintaining dominance, and they control the information we receive. It's time to wake up.
Brothers and sisters, we only have a couple of minutes. I thank for all of those who have listened, who have contributed, who have called in. I appreciate it. I know my brother Frank appreciates it. I know we'll try to do this as much as we can in terms of coming on and explaining to our people what is happening to us, because a lot of us going on, what's going on? What's happening? Well, we're telling you what's happening. But the decision to get yourself up out of this is ours. They put us in it, and they're not going to get us out of it. Dr. Clark said, he says, oppressed people, the oppressor never gives the oppressed the knowledge to end their oppression. It's not in their interest to do so. So the fact of the matter is that we have to do this. It is what is responsible for us to do. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate it. Shem Hotep means, wait a minute, let me say this. We end this program like we're in all our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, we thank you for listening. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana,
means thank you. Abibifahodia. Abibifahodia means our victorious destiny. Abibifahodia family, have a blessed and wonderful day. Peace.